Exodus chapter 20 and verse 15. All right, here we are. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not steal. Amen. Let's pray and ask God's guidance. Father, give us wisdom tonight to preach. Lord, we realize that we can't say anything that'll be of good or be of help or be of any lasting value in the hearts of these people without it being seasoned with the Spirit and power of God. So I pray, Lord, what's said that might be said with the power and the authority of heaven on high, and not by the voice of a man, not by the voice of the flesh, but God, by the voice of God. And I pray tonight, Lord, that You'd speak to us and give us wisdom and understanding, not only, Lord, to preach, but to comprehend. Lord, we realize tonight that our minds cannot sometimes fathom or comprehend the words of the truth of God tonight without the seasoning of the Spirit. And so I pray, God, that You'd help us to understand and then take what we hear and apply it to our heart and use it for the glory of God, that Jesus might be exalted and lifted. We give You praise and glory for what You're going to accomplish. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. And looking in Exodus chapter 20, verse number 15, I guess you know it by heart now. Thou shalt not steal. Amen. You was told that when you was a kid, wasn't you? Amen. At least I think you were. We used to go to schools that the teachers told us not to steal. I don't know what to tell you now. Amen. But I want to know this. And I look at the Word of God. Let me break them down for you. We've been on these 10 commandments. I don't know, 10, 12, 13, 14, 15 sermons. I guess we preached on the 10 commandments. But the first four will concern ourselves with the relationship or our relationship with God. Thou shalt have no other gods before Me, and so forth. We've gone through those. The first four dealing with our relationship and with the Lord Jesus or with God Almighty. Commandment number 5 through 7 deals with the family and life itself. Amen. And it deals with that, about the children honoring their parents and how that they're to do that, and how that they're not to kill, and how they're not to commit adultery. That deals with the family and the home life. Now, the next three that we're going to deal with, and the one tonight we're going to deal with, these deal with property and with our possessions, and we're going to deal with that tonight. Now, Martin Luther, the old reformer who started, the Lutheran Church, and I'm not trying to exalt the Lutheran Church tonight, but I'm telling you, he came out from Roman Catholicism. Here's what he said, and I don't quote too many folks, but here's what he said. That's back in the 1500s. He said, "If all thieves, who nevertheless do not wish to be called such, were to be hanged upon the gallows, the world would soon be desolate and without both executioner and gallows." He said, put it down in terms of the modern English, that's back yonder when they, the Dark Ages, when they didn't know much. Amen. What the world thinks. They could say things that you couldn't understand. What he's saying is, if we hung everybody that was steal and had stolen anything, it wouldn't be long till we wouldn't have anybody to build a gallows, and we wouldn't have nobody to execute the judgment. In other words, there wouldn't be nobody around. So he said it that way. And I'll tell you what, I'll go a little bit step above that. If they locked up everybody that had stole anything in their life, the jails today would not be able to hold them. And they wouldn't even have any officers to get the people to put them in jail. Amen. Because it's from thievery from everywhere. I read something like this. Said about a brand new motel had started its work and it opened up for business. And within 8 months, the first 10 months that had been in business, they had 38,000 spoons stolen, 18,000 towels, 355 coffee pots, 1,500 bowls of some kind they had, and 100 Bibles. Now, what about that? Would you believe that? People go into motels and steal Gideon Bibles. Amen. They will. And I know that. Well, I moved into a pastorium one day, back under several years ago. I'd pastored that church for quite a few years, moved off and came back for the second time. And as we moved in there, the pastor had moved out, and they was going to clean it up, and the ladies of the church and my wife came over, and as they're cleaning up the church, I mean cleaning up the pastorium, and as they went in, they opened up the refrigerator, and you wouldn't believe. It was filled with ketchup packets from McDonald's, mustard packets, salt and pepper packets from all the things, and all around was straws and napkins and little plates of all kinds. And where he had been going to the restaurants, he'd take all that and put it in his pocket and take it back and put it in the refrigerator. And he got his mayonnaise, his ketchup, and his mustard. And that's thievery. Amen. Now, in case any of you tonight doing that, I pray tonight that you'll quit it. Amen. That's right. That's like going down to the restaurant and they'll say no doggy bags, and you ladies will stick chicken wings down in your pocketbook so you can go home and feed it to your dog or your cat. Now, that's thievery. Any way you slice it, you say, "Preacher, I don't thieve. I don't steal." Well, let's just think about some things tonight and study some of this. Now, I believe, in according to what the statistics say, they say that there's over 10 million acts of theft and robbery every year. I mean, it's just everywhere. That's the ones that they know of. What about those that don't get caught? Still out there. Many in this church are probably thinking that you don't steal. And I'm going to focus tonight on this message to the Christians. I'm not going to focus to the lost. That's just something they do. Now, Christians should never thief or steal anything. Never take anything from anybody. I was taught that as a boy, even before I got saved. And even after I've been saved, the Bible says, "Thou shalt not steal." And if you'll look at that, look behind that, would you, in verse 15. What is behind that word steal? What do you see behind it? A period. Nothing, amen. Nothing else. God said, "Thou shalt not steal." It's over. That's it right there. God don't give you no leeway. God don't give you no time for anything else. Now, I don't care too much for them. They're about as crooked as anything could be. And I believe, amen, they're about as crooked as anything in the world. But the IRS, amen, now you know what I'm talking about. They say that $20 billion every year is robbed from them in the unpaid taxes. $40 billion are stolen every year from employers. People who work on a job. Not shoplifters. How many times have you ever been down to Walmart or somewhere and watched somebody come in the store with bare feet? Come in the store and go over to the flip-flop area. Put on a pair of flip-flops and walk right out the store. Some of you probably seen that. I've gone to Walmart or any other store and you look and sometimes you'll find where they've taken knives and cut the packages open and there's nothing in the package. It is hanging up, sometimes turned around backwards. I was in the other day in the electronics department, went over to get something. I was looking at the little USBs, the little thumb drives. And I looked at that and there was one of them split open and there's nothing in it. And I went over to the counter and I said, "Hey, you got somebody stole one of the USB ports or USB drives over there." He said, "They do it all the time." About 2 weeks later, I went in there and I was looking at the same thing in the same area, and they had every one of them in little plastic things. And now they got little wires and you have to get the clerk to come and get it off. That's why you have to stand back and wait on somebody 30 minutes to come and open up, because we got so many thieves. And if the truth is known, no telling how many church members have stole it. Amen. Just imagine thinking about that tonight. You see it all over the place. Well, you said, "How do I steal?" Well, by lying to your employer when you're sick and you ain't sick. Amen. When you get out on your employer's money and pay and take long-distance phone calls, charge it to his bill. Amen. When you walk out the door with the shop towels in your back pocket. Used to work down here at Clarksville Mill, and every day they'd go out And at 4 o'clock, they'd be going out and they'd have him shop towels just hanging out. Amen. And they knew that they'd go out, same ones that go out with them every day. I guarantee you, in a period of time, they had more than the meal did. Amen. And if you walked up to them and said, "Hey, you got to, oh, I forgot that." Isn't it amazing? They can cover it up and hide. Well, you took a pencil and put it in your pocket from the job. Amen. A pack of paper. Anything. And you steal it. That's stealing. Amen. Well, what about all the sick days that you've got? They said about $350 billion is spent by dishonesty and sick days with the employers around the country. Amen. You said, "Preacher, yeah, I'm talking about Christians are the ones that says they do that." Well, we may put a different tag on it. We don't call it thievery, we don't call it theft, and we don't call ourselves robbers. Amen. But I'll tell you what, extortion, we don't sometimes, steal, but we extort. We might seize, or burglarize, defraud, cheat, beguile, misappropriate funds, pilfer, pillage, plunder. Amen. Rob, snitch, swindle, swipe, fleece, embezzle. I was trying to think of anything else, and I believe I got it all summed up. There might be something that you'd add to that. But that's some of the new modern words that we put to it. All that, what we concern, is not thievery. We're just snitching a little something. Amen. I went in the other day, and a little girl said to me, she said, she said, "Swipe your card." And I was going to use a debit card, and so she said, "Swipe your card." And I said, "My mama told me not to swipe anything." But I went ahead and slid that card down through there. Amen. But I was taught not to steal. Just the last Sunday, I don't know whether Sunday morning or Sunday night, I was in this church and preaching, and I said something like this. I believe that Christians, pay their bills or something of that nature. You remember me saying something like that? I don't exactly know how I said it. But on Monday morning, I had to take my car to get fixed, and I took it up the road. And, of course, I had to get Mama up out early. And here we go. And Mama likes to eat breakfast. She loves breakfast. And so she said, "Let's stop back up here and eat breakfast at the little restaurant up here on the side of the road." So I don't care too much for breakfast, but I said, "All right, it's an opportunity." So we stopped, got in, got breakfast and eat. Got up and told everybody bye. And there's another preacher in there. And I just said, "Hey, see y'all later." Got in the car, went to the house. Pulled up the drive, and as I was getting in the driveway, she said, "When did you pay for the breakfast?" I said, "I didn't." And I got out of my car, went in, got on the phone, called back, and I called them by name, and I said, "I didn't pay for my breakfast." She said, "I know you didn't." I said, "Well, I'll be back." And she said, "We don't think nothing about it. Preacher, we know you're going to come back in here." Now, what happens is I'm used to eating in that place. And I go in on for lunch, and they got a buffet, and I always come by and get the food, and I go by the register and pay for it. Then go sit down and bless it and eat it, and just get up and walk out. But for breakfast, they don't have a buffet. You go in and you order it off a menu. And so it changed my whole world around. And so I just under the impression I had it paid for when I got it eat. And so I didn't pay for it. So after a while, I went back up there, walked in, and I said, it's strange. I said something like this. Yesterday I was preaching about it, and I said, Christians pay their bills. And here's one preacher that didn't pay his bill this morning. I'm sorry. And I paid for it. So I want you to know, in case somebody said I didn't pay for my breakfast, it has been paid for. Amen. But sometimes we thieve, not meaning to. Well, I believe God will overlook us on some of them things, but it's the things that we know about. Now, thou shalt not steal, period. Why does God say that? Because stealing is a sin that's against God. Now, when you steal something, you're saying God is not big enough, God is not strong enough, and God is not able to meet my needs, so I've got to step out and take care of myself. That's what you're saying. And so God said, we need to change that. Amen. It's a sign that you do not trust God with all your heart. Amen. I mean, if it's shop towels or a pencil. Amen. Now, no, down at the bank, you'll get them pens and they'll give them to you. Amen. And if you could be kind enough when they got them in the little jar, reach over and get it and say, "Can I have a pen?" Most of you just grab it and put it in your pocket. Go home and throw it down on the table. And if I could come down and look in your office, I'll guarantee you I'd find a lot of pens laying there that you've never even touched, but just because they was available, you got them. Didn't really need them, but you get them. All right. Now, let's look and see what the Bible says. Exodus chapter 21. I want to point out a few things and give you a few things, and I'm going to go home. In Exodus chapter 21 and verse number 16, the Bible said this, "And he that stealeth a man and selleth him, or if he be found in his hand, he shall surely be put to death." What is this? It's kidnapping. Taking somebody, whether it be a child or a person, whatever. And you sell that child or sell that person. God said, if it's found in your hand, you shall be surely put to death. God said stealing, thievery in this manner, was worthy of death. Go to chapter 22 and verse 1. God has given us some of the things that goes right along with thievery. Sometimes we don't read these. We need to pay attention to what God says. In Exodus chapter 22 and verse number 1, "If a man shall steal an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it, he shall restore 5 oxen for an ox and 4 sheep for a sheep." Amen. God said there's a high price on taking something that belongs to somebody else. If you steal an ox, all right, you steal that ox, it's an important. God said you're going to have to restore that ox fivefold. You're going to have to give 5 back and replace 1. And if it's a sheep, he said, if you steal a sheep, you're going to give back 4-fold. Now God has put that on there. Amen. Now, looking at this, he said in verse number 2, "If a thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him." That means if a thief breaking in your house and you kill him, you're free. There's no obligation to you. Even our laws of this day sometimes stand by that. You understand what I'm saying? That's if he breaks into your house and he comes in. Now, verse number 3. The Bible said, "If the sun be risen upon him, there shall be blood shed for him, for he should make full restitution. If he have nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft." In other words, if he breaks in and you catch him, you got him, then what's he going to do? He's going to have to make full restitution for what he done. Amen. Brother, or you can sell him and make him a slave. Now, in Bible days, they had a lot of slaves. That's what you have, maidens and handmaidens, and slaves in the Old Testament time. Abraham had them. Lots of them had them. It was a common thing, and they served. But ever so often, and we're not getting into that tonight, but ever so often in a certain amount of years, they were be able to set free when they served their time. And if after they're set free, if they didn't want to be set free, they could come to the master. He could put an awl in his ear and punch a hole in his ear. And he could say, "I want to remain with the master and serve him. And it's on my own free will." All right, we won't get any further than that. Verse number 4, chapter 22. "If the theft be certainly found in his hand alive, whether it be ox or ass or sheep, he shall restore double." In other words, if he gets caught stealing something from you, whether it be a boat or a car. We don't go around stealing people's animals. That was important in those days. They had more of them. But if you steal his car, his lawnmower, or his BB gun, or whatever it is, or his chainsaw, then what you got to do? You got to restore it double. You got to give back twice what you stole. Verse number 5, "If a man shall cause a field or vineyard to be eaten, and shall put in his beast, and shall feed in another man's field, of the best of his own field and of the best of his own vineyard shall he make restitution." In other words, if you got a cow and your cow gets out and it eats your corn or eats your neighbor's corn, then you're going to have to make restitution for your cow eating the corn. We got laws like that today. If your horse gets out of the field and it gets in the road and you run over it, you're responsible for your horse. Amen. You got to pay up for a man's car. If the old mule gets out, brother, it's your responsibility to take care of the mule. Amen. That's right. And so you see it goes on. Verses 6 through number 15 gives you some more of that. And we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on it, but when you get home, read. And God shows you some of the laws for thievery and what it is. Now, what happens is, go over to Leviticus chapter 6. Leviticus chapter number 6. Let's look over at Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Now, Leviticus is the book tonight of worship. Amen. Now, the book of Exodus is the book of redemption. The book of Genesis is the book of creation. And so when you get the book of Leviticus, it tells you how to worship God and how did you meet God. So he's got some laws in here. Chapter 6 of the book of Leviticus. Verse number 2. If a soul sin and commit a trespass against the Lord and lie unto his neighbor in that which was delivered him to keep, or in fellowship, or in a thing taken away by violence, or hath deceived his neighbor, or have found that which was lost and lieth concerning it, and sweareth falsely in any of all these that a man doeth, sinneth therein. Then it shall be because he has sinned and is guilty, that he shall restore that which he took violently away, or the thing which he hath deceitfully gotten, or that which was delivered him to keep, or the lost thing which he found. And go on down in there and you'll find out that he's got to restore. If he's got anything in his keeping, if you've got something that belongs to your neighbor, you've got to take care of it. Amen. A man borrows your chainsaw and he takes it over there and somebody breaks in and steals the chainsaw. That man is responsible to get you another chainsaw. Now, it said in one of those verses there, if he comes over with the chainsaw and lays it down and talking to you, and somebody walks up and steals a chainsaw, it's not your responsibility. Amen. But so we see the laws are there. And it's so the stealing. You said you want to give us all that? Yeah, I'd give it to you. Amen. See, the Lord gives us some things that we need to see. So He gets us for burglary and kidnapping and for robbery and theft and white-collar crime. And even crimes of stealing from the poor. Even the employer tonight that will not pay somebody his right wages is stealing from the employee. And an employee that goes down to the job and preaches all day and won't work and give them an honest work for an honest day's pay is stealing from the employer. Go down there and twiddle your thumbs and not work, expect everybody else to do it, you're a thief. They ought to fire you. Amen. How about me getting down and praying God fire every one of you as a piddling around on the job, not doing a good day's work? Amen. What do you think about your preacher praying that way? I say it be right. Amen. If you're not going to work, what did the Bible say? Man, don't work, you don't what? Eat. I believe you ought to give them honest day's pay. I was down on the job many times and I hear them down there. And that's good to witness. I believe you ought to witness everywhere you go. I believe you ought to witness on the job if you can. But I don't believe you ought to steal from the employer. Amen. Unless they've hired you to be the chaplain. Amen. Then I believe you ought to give them an honest day's work and take your breaks. And take your breaks and use them for the glory of God. Amen. Don't sit there and read your Bible all the time while you're trying to work on a job. If you've got a time to do that, it's your lunch hour, it's your break time, fine. Let everybody see it. But I'll tell you what the rest of them are doing when you're doing that. They know you're robbing from the company. And you're bringing a reproach on the job. You're bringing a reproach on the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'll tell you what, some of these things are hard to swallow. Stealing will hurt your testimony if you've got one. It'll take it down if you've got one at all. Amen. And that's what the Lord teaches us, and it reflects the condition of your heart. Well, I said something about the shoplifters a while ago, and you see them everywhere. But they said the shoplifters, and this has been proven, 10% of all the shoplifters are people who are poor. 10% of the shoplifters who steal don't have no money, and they go to the last resort to get that. But it goes on to say that 70% of all shoplifters, it's been proven, comes from the middle class. And they say 20% of all shoplifters are people who got money and of means. And they have no reason to shoplift. Understand that? It's just something stealing to some is just like they stole all their life and that's all they've ever done. I remember back yonder years ago when I was just in little old, I wasn't a teenager. I was just a young boy. I remember this. I remember this. These guys would stop. They had a little school. Of course, I can tell you where the school is. It's still there. They don't use it now. They built a brand new school. My grandkids go to the one that's been built new. And the old one, they don't know nothing about that, but they know where it's at. But when there's I was a little boy, they had a little grocery store right up above it there. And an old man run that grocery store, just a little small building. I can picture it in my mind now. It's gone. And the bus had come around, and for some reason, the school bus driver would stop, and some folks would get off. And I didn't get off because I didn't have no money. Amen. But every once in a while, my grandma would give me a nickel or give me a quarter. You could get a lot of candy for a nickel or a quarter. And I didn't steal, but I remember them boys, I'd get off. When I get a nickel or a quarter, I'd get off. And you could go buy a piece of candy and take it on before you went to school. Because you just walk. It was no further than the highway out yonder from the schoolhouse, and we could just walk straight down there to it. And so the bus would let us off and go down there, and I'd go in, and I'd get my candy and go up there. Guess what? Them other boys the same age as me, they're going around getting that candy and picking it up and walking by and putting it in their pocket. They're filling their pockets full of that. And I'd look at that and I thought, what in the world are they doing? And one day I opened my mouth. And I don't know, I got myself in the biggest trouble I've ever been in. And I said, them boys stole that. They stole that. I paid for it. He said, which one? Well, I clammed up. I'm telling you, I got scared to death. I just could see the police and everybody coming out to see me. And so I talked this and that. And hey, and he said, I know they stole it, son. I know they stole it. Amen. He said, I know they stole it. And I thought, well, if it's all right to steal it, I guess it's all right then. And that's the way I left it. I never did get to go in there. I'm glad, thank God, I didn't follow their practice. Are you with me tonight? We're seeing that happening. Our young kids are involved in that and taking things. And it's so common today. Of course, we come to other things where that they've got dope and drugs in their system and alcohol and cigarettes and those sort of things. And they'll steal whatever they can get and take it. We've got people tonight. You'd be surprised at the parents tonight that's got teenage kids that'll steal everything they've got and sell it for dope and drugs and alcohol and cigarettes and everything else on the sun. I know some parents tonight that suffered because of that. And looking at that, brother, I'll tell you what. It's awful. It's terrible. Well, that's one side of the coin. But let's go on. Let's look at this. The Bible teaches against stealing someone's property. If I've got something, you shouldn't steal it. There's four ways of getting whatever you have in your possessions and your property. Number one, you can get it by an inheritance. I hadn't never got much by inheritance. But some of you may have been fortunate to get something by inheritance. Secondly, you can get it by a gift that somebody might give you. Number three, you can get it by working. That's how most of us have got what we got, and we had to work hard, and you have to work hard to get what you got. And if you don't work hard for it, you don't need it nohow. Amen. Brother, I'll tell you what, I come out of the old school, and I believe in working. Amen. It scares some folks to death. They think you're using four-letter curse words when you talk about work. But I still believe we ought to work. Amen. And I teach and preach that everywhere I go. But I want to tell you tonight, we can get that. Then there's one other way you can get it, and you can steal it. And out of all those tonight, that's the only one that's wrong. Amen. And God says, thou shalt not what? Steal. Thou shalt not steal. We've already established you not to steal or kidnap people. Thirdly, I'll give you some ways that you can steal. There's a lot of people, and I got to meet you this tonight. There's a lot of boys and girls in our society today. They steal each other's purity and their innocence. We got a lot of young boys that steal the innocence and the purity of young girls by raping them and misusing them. And you steal somebody's innocence doing that. Brother, they'll stand before God, and girls can do the same thing in these modern days. Brother, I'll tell you what, I don't believe that boys and girls ought to be such a close dating situation tonight that they sleep with one another before marriage. I'm an old-fashioned preacher. I still believe, brother, that you ought to keep yourself pure. I believe when you walk down the altar, down the aisle to get married, I believe you ought to be pure and clean. Amen. And I believe the boys ought to be virgins, the women and the girls ought to be virgins, and I believe you ought to keep themselves for each other until their marriage. I preached that all my life. Thank God, God allowed that to happen for me. Praise God, me and my wife got married. Both of us were pure. Amen. And I thank God for all these years it stayed that way, and I give God the praise and the glory for it. And that's just, and I see why now God give me the privilege, amen, of practicing what the Bible said so that I can preach to you. Amen. I can tell you, do what I did. Stay pure down the altar. Amen. I'm glad I don't have to look in the Word of God and tell you different. All right? Not only that, but I'll tell you what you can do. You instill somebody's peace and you instill their love and their happiness. How do you do that? I'll tell you, many a person does it. A lot of parents do it by neglecting their children. When they neglect their children, they're neglecting and they're stealing from them the happiness and the posterity. Brother, is not being blessed. And down in later years, those children are having to suffer coming out of some families that are not teaching and training them right. And what happens? Parents have stole the happiness and the peace of their children down the road. Amen? You said, preacher, I don't believe I'm a thief. I get to tell you about some of these things right here and you'll understand it a little bit better. I believe we can see where we've done that. I believe tonight that we ought to treat our husbands and wives right. Amen. And not neglect our children. Amen. And I believe that with all my heart. Then the next thing, we can steal somebody's reputation. Did you know that? How? By getting on the telephone and letting that 12-foot tongue slap out around the telephone receiver and get some gossip and talk about somebody. And you can kill their reputation. Amen. I'm talking about sometimes it ain't always this way. Long-tongued Jezebels, but they some long-tongued Ahabs too. Amen. Men about as bad nowadays to talk about somebody as women are. Amen. Used to tell me they'd go down to the beauty shop. And down at the beauty shop is just gossip. But you see, I've been in barber shops a lot, and they gossip at the barber shop. I went and got my hair cut the other day, and the barber said, "Do you know so and so?" And I said, "Yeah." And he began to talk, and I sat there for that length of time. And I didn't want to say too much. I wanted to get a pretty fair haircut. I didn't want him to botch it up. He ain't got much, and I want to keep it. And he told some things I'd never heard before, and it was needless. I didn't need to know it. I tried to forget it when I went out the door. Some of it I have forgot. Amen for that. I thank God for that. That's one time I can say, hey, I appreciate a loss of memory. I'm glad I don't remember too much. But you not only can ruin the reputation, you can ruin their character. We ruin children's character by letting them sit at the TV and watch old television stories that hoodwink them and video games and those sort of things and give them the wrong example and let them do things and allow them to do things. Brother, what we're doing is setting a bad example. Hear mama speak the wrong thing, say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing. What you're doing is stealing your reputation of your children. Mamas, your children ought to see you as a child of God that loves God, singing praises and magnifying Christ. Amen. Children, your children ought to see you as see their daddy. They ought to. Every child ought to see their daddy as somebody that follows God and walks with God and prays with them and teaches them the things and the truths of the Word of God. If you don't, you're robbing them. Amen. You still believe tonight that you're not a thief? You still believe tonight that you don't steal nothing? Well, let's see if I find something for you then. All right, if you steal safe, sometimes we steal the faith of some folks by placing doubt in their mind. Yeah, I know God can do it. I don't think God will. Now, you know what you've just done? You've robbed somebody of faith in the Lord. When you say, I believe God can do anything, I believe God can do all things, and I'm looking for God to do something, you're going to build the faith in that you're talking to. But when you say, I don't believe God will, yeah, I know God can, but I don't believe He will. I've seen Him so many times not do it. You know what you've done? You just tore down the mountain of faith. If they had anything at all in faith, you done ruined it. You stole them of some faith that they could have had. Now, I'm just giving you a few little thoughts that you can go home and work on. I ain't got time to deal with all these. All right? There's another thing you can do, and you can be a thief to the needy. When you see somebody that needs something, the Bible says you shut your bowels of compassion up against them. He said one of these days you're going to get to the place you're in need, and there's not going to be nobody there. We was driving down the road the other day, me and my wife, and there's a fellow standing out in the middle of the road. Or not in the middle of the road, he was in the middle of the road, but there's a sign there, a yield sign, and he had a sign up. He said, lost job. I think he said either two or three children and a wife. And he said, need help? God bless you. Now, I've seen this guy there before. Matter of fact, I've seen him there with his children and his wife. And I haven't done anything. I just went on by. And we're sitting there, and the traffic has caught us, and we're sitting and fixing to pull up there and wait to get out in the road. And my wife said, she starts hunting around in her pocketbook, and I said, what you doing? She said, I'm going to give him some money. I said, you don't know where he's real or not. You don't. And I said, I don't know. She said, all right. She started rolling her window back up. And the Lord said, you know, you just stuck a $5 bill in your right pocket before you got in the car. You know why you put it there? Now, she don't know nothing about this. The Holy Ghost just eat me up. And I reached in and I said, give it to him. And he said, thank you. I whipped out in the road and got up, marked that up in glory for me giving somebody that was in need. And then I lost the blessing of it when I turned left, went up the road, and I told my wife, I said, he's probably got more money in his pocket than I have. And I lost my blessing. If I was even going to get one. Amen. Now I can just see everybody down here standing out there on the side of the road, and I come in Wednesday night looking for a $5 bill. But I believe tonight, sometimes we need to give and sometimes I don't. But I want to be led by the Spirit of God. Now, amen. I stop and they're selling something over yonder, and I don't give them some. I just don't do. Most of all the money I give it to the church. I don't have nowhere else. Listen, I know where it goes if I give it to the church. And that's what God intends for me to do, is give it to the church. Amen. But every once in a while I will help somebody if God says to. But I don't take it off my tithes on Sunday. Amen. I didn't deduct $5 out of my tithes this morning. Amen. Actually, I should have put more for the remark I made off the boy. But it isn't. Amen. You understand where I'm coming from? Now, we can steal when it comes to the needy. There's people out there that need our help. And God said if they do, and there are people that need our help, and if we don't help them one of these days, God will let us get in that position and there will be nobody there. Brother, one of these days I may not be able to buy a meal. And maybe a day, one of these days, and I don't even have enough to get something to drink. Amen. I may not be able to help myself. But I want to tell you something. I want God to help me because I've tried to do what God wanted me to do. And then I want to close this tonight. You can be a thief by stealing from God. Malachi talks about it. I saved that to the last, you know. You can steal from God. How have you robbed me? In tithes and offerings. I know this has been a rather lengthy tonight, but we needed every bit of this. And I did it a little longer so I wouldn't have to preach two sermons on it. Still need to preach a little more. Amen. But we'll let it go. Now, thou shalt not... Amen. Some of you remember it. Thou shalt not what? Steal. Amen. That means don't take anything that don't belong to you. Amen. God bless you. Heads bowed, eyes closed. There's just so much in that Bible. Just so much in there. We need to abide by. I wanted to get into it and didn't do it, but while they're coming, I can tell you about it. You get over to the book of Matthew and the Lord gives us all those same things. Not to commit adultery, not to steal, not to bear false witness. You get over into the book of Romans and Paul, or in Ephesians, and Paul goes back over them again. Ladies and gentlemen, these Ten Commandments are still in effect. God still wants us to abide by them. And they're not obsolete just because they come from the Old Testament. God carried them over. Amen. They're still to be abided by. Stand, please. Now, I've just scratched the surface of what really needs to be preached tonight. But if you need the altar, come on down.